I'm back from Pennsylvania, in Pennsylvania, back from Pennsylvania.
Let it play. Let it play.
Just let it play. Hey, everybody, this is Martin Zender. Tuesday, Monday night for me. Got back yesterday from Pennsylvania and unwound a Sunday night. And as always, I'm going through the typical thing. I don't know why I'm ever going to escape this. It's the typical letdown after a conference. And so I'm in that bit of a trough here. I keep telling myself I'm just going to work, you know. But it always ends up crashing and burning. So I end up just chilling out for the rest of the day. I got to tell you about the conference. So it was amazing. Clyde Pilkington's three talks were amazing. He had a PowerPoint presentation. I don't even know anything about PowerPoint. I don't know how to do it. He didn't know how to do it either. It was the first time that he did it, but it was just brilliant. He had gathered a ton of scriptural information about marriage, about men and women, and sex. Yes, sex. This is such an important topic, and I'm really starting to see why. I mean, I thought I was up to speed on all this stuff, what the Bible has to say, but I haven't been, and I'm learning. And I love to go to these conferences as a learner. And I could have listened to Clyde all day bring out scripture after scripture, and I cannot wait to link you to these three videos. In fact, these three videos, these three talks Clyde gave were all just part one of, he says, many, many parts he can do on this topic. This is why this is important, because the Christian religion, as it has done with everything else, it has completely blown it. It has twisted this vital information and has destroyed families. They have misunderstood divorce. They have assumed that when anybody gets married, they're automatically married for life, and there's no such thing as divorce in God's eyes. Unfortunately, there is. You don't have to look far into the Old Testament to see that God allowed a writ of divorce, and that it freed people, and that they were no longer a husband and wife or no longer married. Clyde brought out the difference between being a husband and wife and being married. Did you know there was a difference? There is. There's a difference between being married and being a husband and wife. And this has really destroyed lives and destroyed children, destroyed families. Because when you destroy parents, you destroy families, you destroy the children. The children of divorce are damaged people. No matter what age it happens at, they always end up being damaged in some way. And all of it is due to a misunderstanding about sex and a misunderstanding about marriage and what it is. You can be married without being husband and wife. Marriage has to do with the sexual union. Husband and wife has to do with the covenant, the agreement. And you can be, conversely, a husband and wife without being married. Why would this solve a lot of problems? Because a lot of young people, or people in general, have sex. And because of religious training, they think that because they've had sex with this person, then they're required by God to marry, or should I say, to form a husband-wife covenant. They've already married, because marriage is the coming together of the sexual union of the two corresponding body parts. And but people assume that because that happens now, well, I have to marry this person. And so millions of people, because of religious traditions, because of not knowing the scriptures, they end up joining together in a husband and wife covenant with a person they just don't, that they know they're not supposed to be with. But because of religious guilt, they get together, they have children, it ends up not working because they really weren't compatible in the first place, they just had sex. But because many people think that having sex, there's some holy bell that rings, like the bell that used to ring in the Catholic Church to signify the piece of bread becoming the body of Christ, which is totally bogus and ridiculous. They think that now, well, I have to be together with this person forever, and that's just not true. Likewise, and divorce is terrible, and I've told you that earlier, or last year I did a whole series on marriage and divorce, and it's ideal to stay together, but when divorce does happen, then a lot of churches don't even recognize it because they think God wants you to marry for life, and they, well, he does, but shit happens, okay? And there are guilty parties, by the way. There's no such thing as a no-fault divorce. There is, according to the state, but according to God, one person breaks the covenant. All it takes is one person to break the covenant. That person is a covenant breaker, and the other person is free. There are so many details about it, and I know I'm all over the map on this right now, but that's okay, because I'm going to, as soon as Aaron gets these videos ready, I'm going to link you to them, and you're going to get an education. And also, there's a difference between divorce and putting away. You know, there's a verse, I think, in Hosea that God hates divorce, and everybody uses this. But no, actually, God hates putting away. Two different Greek words, two different Hebrew words. Putting away, a husband used to put away his wife, and Jesus references this. Of course, the King James translates this different Greek word. They translate it indiscriminately, put away and divorce, as if the two are the same things. They're not. A man put away his wife, meaning he ignored her. He kind of put her off in a corner. She found his favor in his eyes. He would marry someone else, and she had no recourse because she couldn't be another man. She was in this state of limbo. And Paul references this in 1 Corinthians. So this carries over into so-called New Testament teaching, and it was a very cruel thing, and this is why it was a mercy to the wife for that bill of divorcement that the man was obligated then to give her if he wished to put her away. That was a terrible state. God hated it. He gives her a bill of divorcement. It frees her to marry someone else. People were freed to marry other people, and of course, in the Catholic Church is absolutely satanic and ridiculous. And once I say satanic, it doesn't help to say ridiculous, does it? Satanic pretty much covers everything. Disallowing people who are meant to be together not to be together because one person is divorced. And of course, the Catholic Church says, well, you have to marry for life, but they can't find that anywhere in Scripture. It is amazing to me how many things such as marriage license. I would encourage all of you, implore all of you, never ever go to the court to get married. Don't go to the courts. It's an evil, evil system. You live by the courts, you die by the courts. And Clyde explains in these three talks why it's an unscriptural concept, why marriage has nothing to do with a license. Why is the state giving you a license? A license is something you give somebody for something that is otherwise illegal without the license. Are you telling me sex is illegal? Being together with somebody for the rest of your life is illegal. The state needs to grant you a license. But when you give the state this power, you give the state, when you give the state this authority, you give the state much, much power over your life. And this is a huge evil. So between the state and the church, we have screwed up our lives. And millions and millions and millions of people are hurt, especially children, including children. And yet, and the people have the audacity to say, I wish you guys would quit talking about sex. It's like, why don't you talk about the Gospel of Paul? I already wrote a book on that. It's called The First Idiot in Heaven. Read it. It's all about the Gospel of Paul. I also spent 7 months studying the book of 2 Timothy. We're not spending enough time talking about these vital topics that affect our lives. It's a very spiritual topic. Some woman wrote me today, said, I'm done with you. I want out. I'm unsubscribing for your newsletter because of my newsletter this past weekend on the topic of sex. Unless you decide to stop writing on fleshly topics, I don't want anything to do with your newsletter anymore. Yeah, I had like about 50 verse references in there. I talked about what God had to say about what sexual immorality was, something, things that affect people's lives every day, matters because of which people are divorced, men and women are divorced, families are broken up, children are ruined, and we're not supposed to talk about this. Why? Why, really? Why? Why aren't we supposed to talk about this? Fleshly topics? Well, I guess we have to toss, 1 Corinthians chapter 7 out of the Bible. I guess we have to toss Ephesians chapter 5 out of the Bible. I guess we have to toss Romans chapter 12 through chapter 16 out of the Bible to speak of the practical things we human beings in flesh go through, the relationships we have with children, fathers, husbands, wives. These things are of vital importance, and don't think for a second they're not spiritual. They are spiritual. Spirituality infuses our entire life because to live is Christ. So those who would try to separate the fleshly things of our practical life from the spiritual things, they're making a fatal mistake, and they're being deceived and deluded, and they're going off onto all sorts of unspiritual tangents, even as they imagine themselves to be spiritual. I don't even need to excuse this. First of all, thank you to all those who said, I love that newsletter. Thank you for elucidating this topic for us, for illuminating the truth, for bringing up the scriptures. I always wondered what fornication was. What's this sexual immorality? Seems like a broad term. You really defined it, Zender. So I thank you for all those people. The overwhelming majority said thank you, and they loved a scriptural teaching on this vital topic. So for the few people who for some reason somewhere in their lives got screwed up concerning sex, who are squeamish about it, who are afraid of it, who think it's dirty, I'm really tough luck, because when I am moved to talk about this, I am going to talk about it. If you have a problem with it, I don't even need to defend myself here, but just look at the ratio of teaching I have between sexual topics and other topics. Probably 1 to 50 or 50 to 1 other topics and sexual topics. So when you write one article and people say all you ever write about is sex, it just shows you who the sex-obsessed people are. The people who are sex-obsessed are the ones who just can't get past that you even mentioned it because they're embarrassed about it. But I hope you're not one of those people. This is a very important topic. I cannot wait to link you to Clyde's articles on this. We have a multifaceted God, and He is as varied and as exciting and as nuanced as His creation is. This is true in the realm of sex. It's true in the realm of every other spiritual truth, and don't think that sex is not a spiritual truth, because it is. All right, I'm going to try to recharge the batteries and get back into Hebrews here tomorrow. I'm going to write a script here pretty soon for the Crack of Dawn report coming this weekend. This has been Martin Zender. Thanks for tuning in.